Done. Okay. Shavuos. First of all, let's start with the basics. Shavuos means Shavua Tov. Have a good week. Shavuot is the plural. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I apologize. I got caught up too much in my own head here. I apologize. Hello, everybody. Welcome, everybody online. Welcome, everybody here live. People here live as well. So welcome to everyone who is here. Good to see you all looking around. Good to see you all. Shavuos means week. Shavua Tov. A good week. What are these weeks? These are the weeks that we count from Pesach. Hashem doesn't tell us when we have to keep the holiday of Shavuos. The holiday of Shavuos is not based on a date in the Jewish calendar like we have Sukkot. Is the 15th day of the month of Tishrei. Pesach, the 15th day, the month of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the month of Tishrei. Shavuot, doesn't say. Yes, very interesting. All the Torah says, you should count for yourself. This is in Leviticus, Vayikra. 23:15. You shall count for yourself from the day after Pesach 7 weeks until the end of the seventh week. You shall count 50 days. Well, technically seven weeks. So 49 days, meaning on the 50th day. Yes, there's that correlation between the 50 of that and the 50 years of the Shemitah and the Yovel. Not for now. From your dwelling places, and that's all the Torah says. That's it. And you shall bring a sacrifice. Doesn't even tell us that it's a Yom Tov. We have to go into the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. In chapter 28, verse 26, to tell us, and on the day of the first fruits, when you offer a new meal offering to Hashem on your festival of weeks, that we shouldn't do any work.
Not yet.
And that we have to bring a sacrifice. So the Torah, known as the Yom HaBikurim, on the day of the first fruits. So again, the Torah doesn't seem to really discuss Shavuos so much as a holiday per se. So what's going on here? So first of all, we discussed this before. We're going to review. What does the holiday of Shavuos really represent? And that is in a whole different section in the book of Exodus, in the book of Shemos, chapter 20-ish, 19-ish, of what this whole meaning of what happened? What took place when the Jewish people left Egypt? And the Torah tells us. That's why if you have a book, really skipping around a lot. The Torah tells us that the Jewish people. No, there's somebody who's, there's construction going on here. So that's the banging. That the Jewish people, on the third month after they left Egypt, they gathered close to this in the Midbar Sinai desert, the wilderness of Sinai, as the school says. And that's where Mount Sinai is. The Mount Sinai is in the Sinai desert, in the wilderness of Sinai. And the Jews were encamped there. And this is where the rabbis teach us that Hashem wanted to give the Jewish people a present, a gift. It's nice to give gifts. Can you imagine getting a gift from God? I don't think anybody else is coming. Sandy's in good shape. Thanks, Sandy. That a gift from Hashem is always going to be an outstanding gift. So what's this gift that Hashem wanted to give us? Hashem wants to give us the blueprint of the world. Blueprint of the world. The Torah, the drawings, so to say, of which the world was created from within. Why? Because when you give someone who's knowledgeable the content and the context of which and how the world was created, it leads to much greater knowledge. So for example, when you give someone who is an architect the blueprints of the building, then they are able to understand and see the building with much greater insight. They don't even have to see the building per se. You could actually, those who are really good, look at the blueprints and know what the building is going to look like for the most part. The Zohar teaches us, Jewish Kabbalah teaches us that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world through the Torah. And we learned this also, by the way, when we did our intro on Tuesday in the prayer book, where we looked into Hashem looked into the letters of the Aleph Beis. Remember where we learned that? That through the letters of the Aleph Beis, Hashem, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, Hashem created the world. So Hashem was going to give this gift. Hashem wasn't going to keep it for himself. I shouldn't say that it's meaningless for the angels, but it doesn't have the same context for the angels as it does for us. And Laurie's bothered with why. I see Laurie's bothered with why, and I will explain. Because one of the things that the Torah gives us is the means by which to connect to Hashem by doing His commandments. Angels don't need to connect to Hashem. They are automatically in the inner chamber. They have a certain connection. They can't get any closer to Hashem. They can't get any farther to Hashem. We as human beings, through our Torah, our God-given gift, we have the ability, unfortunately, if we don't keep the ways of the Torah, of distancing ourselves from Hashem. But by keeping the Torah, by coming here and learning Torah, we have the ability of becoming that much closer to Hashem, even to the point where we can be closer to Hashem than the angels are. So Hashem wanted to give the gift. The question is, which nation on the planet was the most deserving? Now, Hashem knew that the Jewish people, he's going to give it to the Jewish people, the children of Abraham and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah and Rachel, etc. Bilhah Zilpah. But he offered it at least to the other nations of the world. Hashem went around and says to the various nations, hey, nation of Esau, you're Yaakov's brother. Would you like the Torah? And the various nations that Hashem went to offer the Torah, they said, well, you want to give me a gift? But usually when somebody gives you a gift, You accept it and you say, thank you very much. Very rare for someone to say, I'm going to give you a gift. Can I know what it is, please? I'd like to know what the gift is before you give it to me. Why do you want? Well, because if you're giving me a pet, I don't want to have to take care of a pet. If it's glass, it might be too fragile. So if it's glass, I don't want glass. I don't want the gift. So you make up whatever it is. If it's this, if it's that, then it's okay. It takes maintenance. It's a flower. It's a plant. It's too much maintenance. And unfortunately, that's the way people, the other nations of the world, took to Hashem's gift. They asked, so what's in the Torah? You're giving me this gift. What does it say? And Hashem said, well, if you really want to know, I'll tell you what it says. Some part of it says, whatever, certain laws in the Torah. And he said, no, it's okay. Can't steal, can't kill, you know, can't hunt or whatever it is. It's okay. It's not for me. I'd rather my seven laws, and I don't want to have to be bothered with the other 606. So then Hashem came to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and said, no, would you like the Torah? And the Jewish people said the famous two words. You can write down these words. Na'aseh, we will do, v'nishma, and we will hear, we will listen. We'll do, and we'll hear. Tell me what it says. I'll do it. And only afterwards, Naseh, will do. Just tell me what it says. Tell me what to do. And then Nishma, then I'll deal with trying to figure out and understand why you want me to do these things. But the first thing is Naseh. I have to do. And by saying these two words, that's what these two words brought the entire Jewish nation together in a way. I talked about this as well, with a unity that has never existed as a unity among the Jewish people since that time. We got close a couple of times, but never have we had that kind of unity once again of the Jewish people. And Hashem said, if you are that committed to your unity, you now can merit to receive the Torah. You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure how many of you have ever had the opportunity to see the Torah scroll more in detail, live. Like, what does it, open it up? Like, what does it look like? Yeah, it's writing and whatever. You know what I mean? But the Torah scroll is actually pieces of parchment that are written, and it's not one long 50-footer piece of parchment that you roll up. It's actually sections of parchment that are then sewn together with a special thread and put together to make the Torah scroll. So the Torah scroll is actually, you know, a whole bunch of like sections. And if you're good at it, you'll know how to put them in actual order. Some of you have been to my home, been to my study. I don't really let that many people into my study, but if you've been into my study, you may have noticed that hanging on my wall is a section from a Torah scroll, 400-year-old Torah scroll. Maybe by now 420. I remember many years ago I bought it. But a section of a Torah scroll. I think what happened was that somebody found some old, because I was following this person, and he found some Torah scrolls that were no longer kosher. I guess the option was either to bury it, which is what one would have to do with a Torah scroll. And what he did was, is he just disassembled it and he sold it. He sold it on eBay. He sold the various sections. And I see he started doing well, because instead of the whole section, which had actually four columns of writing on it, then I see he started going by column. So maybe he was cutting him into four strips to try and maximize his dollar value. I don't know. But I have one of a whole column. So what Sandy wants to know, what makes it non-kosher? So basically, the number of things could be that letters just become, let's say it went through a fire, God forbid, or it got damaged in that way. Torah is one of those things that it actually can, it's fixable. It's the most easily, one of the most easiest to be able to fix. If you make a mistake in the Torah scroll, you can actually take an eraser and erase whatever except for Hashem's name and fix whatever letters that, but sometimes it just becomes, there's just too much to repair. And you find these with older Torah scrolls that survived the war. So, and sometimes people just, the older Torah scrolls, they were made of a very heavy parchment and a large parchment. And they're big and they're heavy. And at the end of the reading of the Torah, someone is honored with lifting the Torah to display to everyone before sitting. And it's very heavy. And today they make them much lighter. The parchment is much is banged out much more, whatever it is. They're much so it could be that people just for whatever reason, for a number of reasons that this Torah scroll is now being decommissioned, so it obviously has to be done properly. And that's why I put mine in the frame to have the proper respect for it. So the Jewish people came together with this tremendous amount of unity. And they accepted regardless of what it says. Na'aseh. Tell me what to do. Inishma, and then I'll listen. So I was going to get to this a little bit later, but I'll just talk about it now. Can you imagine what a tremendous merit that is to be able to just have such faith? Where a person, imagine a doctor tells you, you got to take this surgery, then you got to take these pills, you got another surgery, you got to go visit this test, blah, 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 blah. Doctor, whatever you say, I will follow. That's a tremendous amount of faith. Most people would not. Most people, I'd like to get a second opinion before you slice and dice. And that was just like, sure, that's perfectly fine. But we're talking about God. God doesn't need to say, who else are you going to ask? The next God? There is no other. There's only one God. So when God says, this is the most beautiful response, when a person puts their faith in Hashem, the answer, the response is na'aseh v'nishma. Not, but maybe this, but you know, I've got this coming up. I have whatever it is, else, all kinds of rationalizations and excuses and whatever it is. Nope. And as Jews, we're pretty good at that. So maybe, because we didn't do it then, maybe that's why our history is like full of rationalization. We didn't do it at Mount Sinai, thank God. But that's what brought the unity of the Jewish people. And Hashem said that those that can have a unity amongst themselves are worthy of being the recipients of my gift. They're not asking me, oh God, what's in the gift? Well, what is it? Is it fragile? Do I have to? Yeah, you got to keep it in an ark. You know, it's very fragile. There's a lot to it. But I want to tell you something, my friends, even more so. We've discussed this. The holiday of Shavuos represents Hashem's revealing himself to the Jewish people. And I cannot, one should not underestimate the importance of this once in the history of the world event, where the God of the nation revealed itself to the nation. Well, God never even revealed himself to a person. There are people that claim, to make claims, a lot of people make claims. I claim I have a bank account with $1 billion in it. Yeah, right. Everybody's going to go, yeah, right. What was your last name? Bezos or something? Or yeah, right. Watch tomorrow. Okay, what happened? High center. I have a bank account with a zillion dollars. I can make a claim. Anybody can make a claim. You can say the same thing. Prove it. Sure. Come with me to my bank tomorrow. Okay, no problem. What time is it? I'll be at your house at 8 a.m. Oh, banks don't open till 10. No problem. Be at your house at 10. Sure, no problem. What are we going to do now? Come shows up tomorrow at my home. Oh, I'm not feeling well. Have a headache today. Gotta prove it. Hashem says, I leave nothing to the imagination. I am appearing to the entire Jewish nation. And not only that, my friends, the entire Jewish nation had the exact same experience. Can you imagine? We go to a concert. We went to the Marlies game. We had a nice group. We went to the Marlies game. Some people liked it. Some people, okay, we're one group, so maybe it's a little bit different. But, some people do things. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, but I didn't like this. I didn't like that. Well, you didn't like that. I love that part of it. You didn't like what they put on the barbecue. That was the most fun. Yeah, everybody has their own experience, but when we experience the revelation of Mount Sinai, every single man, woman, and child had the exact same experience. It's never happened before. Not only has it never happened before, the Torah tells us it will never happen again. 3,200 years later, it has yet to happen again. Shavuos. It's really a holiday of weeks. It's a holiday of weeks of preparation, as we discussed. And the preparation is for me to get ready to accept the Torah once again. On Pesach, I work on myself to try and reenact the Exodus of Egypt. The Seder, or cups, the matzah, the bitter herbs, the blah, 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 blah. We reenact what took place. How do I reenact Shavuos? Hashem is not revealing himself to the Jewish nation once again. So the preparation becomes mine. It's my weeks of preparation to this day where I need to acknowledge revelation of Mount Sinai. There's actually great rabbis. I saw it brought down this year. I noticed it in previous years. The great rabbis in the morning at the prayer service would just say to themselves during the reading of the Torah, Nasa v'Nishma. Say those two words to commemorate those two special, I will listen and I will do and I will listen, to commemorate those special words that the Jewish people said before they receive the Torah. It's not so easy to do. Somebody says, a little program message here. Somebody says, time to go to treatment, time to go to detox. They go, no, what do they do there? What about that? Like, okay. Is it nice? Are the people nice? Can I use myself? Well, everybody's got questions. Everyone has questions at this. I'm here to save your life. I'm here to save your life. Why are you asking questions? Can you imagine? Somebody drowning out at sea, God forbid. You throw them the life raft. And they say, will you pull me back? Will it handle my weight? Is it strong enough? Should I hold on? Yeah. What are you asking questions for? Grab on, your life is at stake.
Get your act together 24 hours in your
But people, life. You're right, but people should not be making time to ask questions. You're right. People should just, my life is at stake, just do what you gotta do. Ask later. Exactly. Right. So in other words, if the person comes out with the boat and throws the life raft a little bit further over, you think, I don't understand. Why didn't you throw it directly to me? Maybe later you'll understand The reason might have been because there was a shark that was over there, and by throwing it over there, it was trying to scare away a fish. I don't know why, whatever it is, whatever the story is. But if your life is dependent on it, you don't ask questions. You just move forward. Certainly not at this time. Maybe we'll get to it afterwards. Write it down. Write down your points. Try and get have a little. So the rabbis explain as follows: of the three festivals of the year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Sukkot, we understand, is a holiday about Hashem controlling the world. Sukkot is about the sacrifices, many animals that were brought as sacrifices, the water that was poured, Simchas Beis Hashem, the water libations. Lauren, thank you. Lauren's passing a piece of paper if you want to write it down.
Thank you very much.
The 70 bulls connect. In reference to the 70 nations, that Hashem is the master of the world. On Pesach, that Hashem is a master of his people, of his nation. Hashem took us out of the land of Egypt in such a miraculous way. And on Shavuos, when Hashem opens the heavens, it was revealed to us that Hashem is also the master over individuals, over each and every single one of us. That Hashem cares about every single one. Every single Jew was present, and even every single future Jew, they say, that not only were Jews present at Mount Sinai, but even the souls of those who would convert at a later time were also present at Mount Sinai. Because Hashem says, yes, you are a nation, but first we are also individuals, and we have to come together as individuals to create a nation. And that's why Shavuos is a little bit less known, because it's more on the individual basis. Not always the people like themselves. Talked a little bit about that this morning also. The people sometimes become introverted and they run and they hide and they do all things by themselves and they close the blinds and they get to go in dark rooms, dark places, no windows. Because people don't always like themselves. And we forget that I'm special. When I closed the meeting this morning, when I gave my class this morning, I closed with what's called the 60-second wrap. Not music, but wrap up. Everybody gets a chance to wrap up. What did you learn? And what became clearer to you in today's class? And I went last, it happened to be today. And my take from today's meeting was, I'm a miracle. I am a miracle. And that everybody, every individual needs to realize that you are a miracle. And it's the culmination, the accumulation, I should say, of all the 5 or 7 million miracles of whatever number of souls that were around at Mount Sinai, because like I said, it was the Jews who were there, plus all the converts that would be in future generations. That came together in that unity. So I want to tell you a story. David Ashir brings down the story, very beautiful story. He said recently in Israel, two children of one of the people who died in Meiron. Meiron is the place where the gravesite of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author, let's call it, of the Kabbalah, who taught Kabbalah, brought Kabbalah to Judaism. So there was a stampede a couple of years ago, and 45 people were trampled, and 45 Jewish souls perished. So two children of one of those of the 45 who passed away, they wanted to do something special in merit, le'ilu nishmas, in memory of their father that had passed away. And they knew how much their father loved going to the Kotel to put tefillin on Jews who would come to the Kotel. So they figured what they're going to do is they're going to go to one of the army bases, and they'll go to the Jewish soldiers that are in the army base. They'll go up to a base up north, a place where there aren't that many people that would have, they would have that opportunity, and ask soldiers if they would like to put on tefillin, and that would be, they would do that in their father's merit because they knew how much their father loved doing this for other Jews. Fine, get on some buses until they make their way all the way up north to the army base. And they arrived at a guard told them, I'm sorry, we cannot allow those who are not part of the army. We can't allow other people into the army base. Excuse me. And they were disappointed. We traveled all this far. And we want to, but their guard heard why, you know, they schlepped all this way to come up north to the, with their father, they lost their father in Meiram. The guard says, you know, I can't let you in, but you should know that out in the forest, there are still many other soldiers who are still doing training exercises. If you try to go this way, a little bit in the forest, you'll find soldiers. Okay? So with renewed energy, they went out into the forest and they found a whole bunch of soldiers, 40, 50 soldiers, and they were able to put tefillin on most of them. Beautiful thing. But they came to one soldier who totally refused. Totally refused. What happened? And he said, I will never put on a pair of tefillin again. What happened? He has a bad experience with tefillin. Like he got an allergy reaction, allergic, you don't put it on your skin. I don't know why. Well, you guys made such a big deal about it. So they pleaded with him, like well, what's your problem here? So finally he explained. He says, no one ever put on tefillin for me except for one man. I grew up non-religious. And one time, I was by the Kotel, and a very nice person came over to me and asked me to put on tefillin. We had a conversation, like everybody else was just like, come on, you put on tefillin today, put on tefillin today, put on tefillin. This person came up, nice, you know, to the side, sit down, little conversation, to drink, something to eat. And then, would you like to put on tefillin today? A much more relaxed, more calm manner. And since then, I've been back at the Kotel many times. You know, soldiers, we go to the Kotel many times. There are, Lauren, you know, we go to the Kotel, always just so soldiers hanging around the Kotel. And only this man was allowed to put tefillin on me. So two boys asked me to describe, what does that person look like? And he described what the person looked like, and the boys pulled out a picture of their father and said, was this him? And he looks and goes, yeah, that's the man. And the boy said, that's our father, passed away in Meron. He's the one who put tefillin on you. We are his children, and we're doing this in memory of our father. And when he heard that story, when the man heard that, it was just that man's two children continuing on in his legacy. With that, he agreed to put on tefillin. Look what Hashem did for this man. For all the people he said the only people in the world that this person would listen to put on tefillin, how they ended up, couldn't get into the army base. They decided to do it this year. They couldn't get into the main army base. So they went out to the forest, and in the forest, all this to happen just so that this person put on tefillin. For one individual, Hashem made maneuvered, but the bus arrived. Everybody, you know, in the guy could have left already. The guy could have gone back to the base. The guy could, you know, so many things could have happened. But no, it happened exactly for this one particular soldier. My friends, Hashem cares about every single individual. This next story that I actually have is I'm looking at the time. That's actually a long story, so I'm going to save it for another time. What?
You
can
hear it.
Great story. Okay. 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 Fine. Fine. No, I'm gonna save it for another time. That's okay. It's not going anywhere. So, my friends, it's Hashem's word. Everything Hashem has said in his Torah, nothing, absolutely nothing, people may have heard that phrase before, nothing, absolutely nothing, has deviated one bit from what it says in the Torah. Everything that it says, everything, until today, continues to come true. That was the takeoff of that phrase. But our Torah is holy. Our Torah is special. I said something yesterday, which actually only at our class, it was either yesterday or the day before, I said it, and it only struck me today. Hey, what did I say? I'll repeat it. What I said at the time was, how many mitzvahs, how many commandments do you think you can do? And I answered it by saying that as we say the words of Torah, as we come to learn the words of Torah, that a person, the average person speaks, says a Chafetz Chaim, approximately 200 words a minute. Talk a little faster, talk a little slower. You know, each one to their own. Approximately, the average is about, you know, if you're talking, I guess I can listen back and you can do how many words did I say your next number of minutes. Approximately 200 words a minute. So there are at least 200 mitzvos that all of us, we're all in this together. This is the Ish Echad V'Lev Echad. This is the unity of the Jewish people that we are together. That we all, by me speaking, you listening, everyone who's listening, everyone who's paying attention, together get 200 mitzvos a minute. 200 times, you know, 60 minutes, one for an hour, 45, 60 minutes, whatever it is. How many mitzvos are we piling? How many mitzvos are we piling up in our mitzvah account every time we come? It's a beautiful thing. We'll get to Shemayim after 120, and you'll see that bank account of mitzvahs. You're gonna be upset at me. Lori's looking. Why are we gonna be upset at the rabbi? I'll tell you why. See, because I would have known that, rabbi, you should speak 300 words a minute. That's how important our mitzvahs are to us. Hashem cares about every single individual. And that's what was meant before, that Shavuos really represents the holiday of individuality. Sukkot is the world, Pesach is the nation, Shavuos is the individual. Every Jew that was alive said the words Na'aseh V'Nishma, we will do and then we will hear. How many of us in this day and age can live in that way? I have to tell you, I have to hand it to the Hasidim, to the ones who come from a have a Hasidic rabbi that they follow. I can't say that it doesn't exist outside the Hasidic world. It does in many instances, but certainly in the Hasidic world, when the head rabbi, the Rebbe of the Hasidic sect, whichever it may be, and all of them are the same in this way, what the Rebbe says, they do. They'll come to the Rebbe with a business question. Should I go into business with so-and-so? Should I not go? And the Rebbe says, do it this way. There is no other question to be asked. No one ever questions the word of the rabbi, because they know that the rabbi can shares a certain connection, a closer connection with Hashem, and they believe that the word of their Rebbe, of their teacher, is the word that what Hashem would want from them. And there are countless stories abound, plenty of books that are available. Come to my house and read all you like. Of rabbis who have made decisions for people on surgeries, blessings that they got, people who didn't have children, got children, whatever it is. All kinds of things, because people adopted the principle that made us a nation. Rabbi, what you say, I will do. I'm not here to question. If a person has questions, you can have questions from today. Nothing will ever get done. When the doctor says, yeah, you know, there are, you want to ask doctor, but doctor, is the operation really safe? What if I get a reaction to the anesthetic? What if I get a reaction to this? What if I, you know, if this happens? What if my, what if you get another emergency? What, you know, you can drive the doctor crazy. Excuse me, ma'am, you want the surgery? Or do you not want, just tell me if you want the surgery, sign the dotted line. I've added, because you can go on and on. And that, my friends, is my takeaway this year for the holiday of Shavuos. I'll just come to the concluding part by saying the world that we live in, and I know this is being recorded, the world that we live in is continuously becoming a world that is the opposite of what Hashem really wants from the world. Hashem created, as the Torah tells us in Genesis, the very beginning of the world, Hashem created man, and he created woman, and he created a male and a female. And that's it. And what's going on in the world today seems to be something radically different. Not anything else is being created, but we are creating ourselves in our own imagination in a different way. And how one either changes their body, and how one either identifies, maybe I did not change anything, but how I identify, Hashem may be who I am, but this is the word of Hashem, not Hashem created us. I find it interesting. If you take a look in the Torah, Hashem says in the Torah, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God says, Na'ase Adam b'tzalmeinu. Let us create. That's that same Na'ase from the Na'ase v'nishma that we said 2,000 years later. Same word that Hashem used to create the world. Let us create. Hashem tells the angels, let us create man in our image. That's that same Na'ase that we need to connect with to know how to act as people. And that's how we find unity. I find it so interesting that the more the world tries to adopt difference, I don't even know what the word is, different mentalities, maybe towards sexuality and towards male and female, etc., you'd think that people would be happier. But no, it's going exactly the opposite. There's more discord that is happening in the world as the more radical people are becoming. And that is the antithesis of the holiday of Shavuos, where we talk about the unity of the Jewish people. And by recognizing, Hashem made me this, I'm happy. Hashem made me that, I'm happy. Hashem gave me this issue in my life, I'm happy. Hashem made me rich, I'm happy. Hashem made me poor, I'm happy. I'm supposed to because Hashem made me. That is Shavuos. Let me just finish up and I'll take questions afterwards. So, in closing, my friends, yes, it's known as the cheesecake holiday. Granted, that's for a whole different reason. I didn't get a chance to talk about that. Didn't get a chance to talk about the Book of Ruth. Didn't get a chance to talk about that this year. But I just wanted to end by saying, I know I've said it before, and I usually say it before Jewish holidays, and I'm saying it again, and I mean it even with so much more fervor every time. The amount of unity that I feel that exists in the Chai Center amongst us, where people just come here to grow and learn in Torah and Judaism and in life, become better people, become happier people, become more serene, have more serenity in life. I can extol, but I'm sure that Hashem infinitely more extols what goes on here at the Chai Center. Because I can tell you that if I would feel that there was some discord that's going on, I would try and do my best to put an end to it as soon as, snuff it out as soon as possible. It doesn't belong in the Chai Center. I have such a respect for each and every single one of you. You don't even know how much I respect each and every one of you. You think, I invite you for a meal, for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, you know, I call you there. You have no idea how much respect I have for each and every one of you. For coming day in, day out, showing yourself on screen, learning Torah, asking questions, sharing with others. Some of you know that every so often I call you up and I say, I need your help with something. I need your help with something. And rarely do I get, I can't. Rarely. It's always, sure, Rabbi, what can I do to help? And that is a celebration. That comes from preparation, weeks of preparation of the Jewish people, counting of the Omer, to work myself up to this day where I can honestly and truly look up at Hashem and say with a whole heart, Ish echad ubelev echad, with a unity, I can say the words, Na'aseh v'nishma, Hashem, I believe in you enough, tell me what to do. Lead me and guide me, I'll ask questions later. I'm not here to ask questions. I want to leave everyone with a blessing that God willing, everyone, take from tonight's message to continue in this way of unity, to continue in being able to reach out to others this beautiful message of we're not here to win any debates. We're not here to pull any punches. We're here just for unity. We're here just because we care and I can make a difference. And I, just like Hashem cares for me, like in the story that I told you, that all this had to happen just just for the sake of this one person putting on tefillah, Hashem cares about each and every single individual. And everyone can hopefully write down these two words, and you'll say over the holiday, on Friday or on Shabbos, you'll say the two words, Na'aseh v'nishma, and it will make a difference not only for you, but it will make a difference. Shabbos is, we say Yizkor on Shabbos, it's a holiday, Yizkor, which means that I have a list, sort of a running list. If you need me to say Yizkor for anybody, please let me know. But it not only will make the same Na'aseh v'nishma make a difference for you, it'll also make a difference in Aliyah, for the neshama of the departed in your family. May Hashem help. We should be able to take this holiday of Shavuos. The next holiday is not till Rosh Hashanah. So we got a break now. No holidays now for a few months, 3-4 months. Eliyahu Dov is giving a, thank God. Baruch Hashem, Hashem should help. We should get what we can, recognize the unity of the Jewish people, recognize how much Hashem really cares about me, and we should have a really enjoyable holiday of Shavuos. Thank you for letting me share. On that note, it is 8:27. I went on a little bit longer than usual, a little bit different message, type message than usual. If there are any questions or comments, I'm happy to take them now. I will pause the recording so that in case somebody has something